The Good News According to St. John. Glory to you, O Lord. John 10, verses 1 to 10. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Well, less than 1 month ago, on April 9th, 2017, a young man and his driver sat in a Volkswagen van parked two blocks away from Margergis Coptic Church in Tanta, Egypt. The young man spoke quietly on his cell phone to his brother. His words soft and reassuring, but resolute. The church bell began to ring, calling worshipers to Palm Sunday service. And the young man bid his brother an emotional goodbye, locked eyes with his driver, and slipped out of the van. He walked two short blocks to St. Gergis Church quickly. He was sweating profusely. Though it was a very warm and humid morning, the young man wore a coat. He joined a stream of worshipers entering the already crowded building, his eyes forward, plotting his path. But he was stopped. A security guard stopped him. He tried stepping around him. The guard grabbed him tightly around the arm. Trying to break away, he felt the guard's grip tighten even further. He knew this was as far as he was going. So reaching in his coat pocket, he squeezed a detonator, and the explosive belt strapped round his waist erupted, sending nails and screws and ball bearings hurtling all around. The young man died instantly. Most of the other 44 innocent people who lost their lives, suffered before succumbing to death. Even more were injured. Just 2 hours later, St. Mark's Church in Alexandria, Egypt, was bombed in a similar fashion. More death, more injury, more grief. Why would anybody do something so abhorrent? The question is always asked, and there are no good answers, I guess. Hatred, rage, revenge, who knows? But in cases like this, of course, there is a more perverse rationale that often factors in. An expectation of heaven. For those who die as a jihadist, a fighter in the cause of Islam, there is the hope for heaven. That suicide bomber expected to be welcomed to heaven because of what he'd done. So who does go to heaven? Of the 11 major religions in the world, including forms of Buddhism, Hinduism, Islam, Judaism, and Christianity, all of them, except one, teach that heaven is a reward for human effort, whether that effort be noble or nauseating. There's only one dissident religion when it comes to the question of who receives eternal life. Only one alternative view. In our gospel lesson today, John 10, verse 9, Jesus said, "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." That is an outrageous claim by Jesus. He's saying that it's only by him that we're reconciled with God and go to heaven. You know, this whole passage from John 10 has a backstory. It starts in John 9 with the incident where Jesus healed a man born blind in Jerusalem. That created quite a stir in the neighborhood. According to the neighbors, Jesus must be the long-awaited Messiah, the Christ. Who else could heal a man born blind? So they brought the formerly blind man to the Pharisees, the officials at the temple. But rather than sharing the joy of the formerly blind man and his neighbors, these Pharisees were outraged because Jesus had healed this guy on the Sabbath. He'd violated the law of Moses. He'd worked on the Sabbath. According to the Pharisees, absolutely no way is Jesus the Messiah. The John 10 passage we read today is Jesus responding to those Pharisees. Not only is he the Messiah, the true shepherd, Jesus explained, he's the door to the sheepfold, the door to heaven. If anyone enters by me, Jesus said, he will be saved. He'll find pasture. Jesus associated the Pharisees with thieves and robbers who neither knew nor cared about the sheep, God's people. Their only concern was for themselves. The startling thing here is Jesus' claim that he alone is the door to the sheepfold, to heaven. In John 14, 6, he puts it like this: "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me." That's a claim that doesn't win Jesus many fans. It didn't back then, and it doesn't now. How could Jesus be the only way to heaven, the only way to God? You know, I read a piece recently written by Presbyterian pastor Alistair Begg, who pointed out that if the early Christians in Rome would have just been content to simply include Jesus as just one in a pantheon of deities rather than the only way to heaven, then they would have, in many cases, avoided the persecution they experienced. Instead, they confessed what Jesus taught. And so they were used as human torches, or thrown to the lions, or forced to defend themselves without weapons from armed gladiators, all for the entertainment of the crowd in the arena. And the idea that Jesus is the only way to heaven continues to be controversial and continues to produce martyrs. Martyrs like those who died in Egypt less than a month ago on Palm Sunday. In America, the common belief is that all roads lead to God as long as you're sincere and seek to do good deeds. While that sounds tolerant and equitable and fair, we're still left alone with God's word at the end of the day. And God's word tells us that Jesus alone is the door. Whoever enters by him will be saved. Jesus' claim is exclusive. But that's not why Christianity is different. That's not why we who call on Christ are completely unique in the world. Christianity is an outlier because Scripture teaches that it's Jesus who has saved us. We have not saved ourselves. We believe that despite our selfish sinfulness, God's mercy toward us never fails. That's unheard of in the world of religious thought. We don't earn God's favor by doing good deeds or by fighting as a jihadist. You receive God's kindness because he loves you. That's it. You're not going to heaven because you're good. You're going to heaven because Jesus died an atoning death for you, and you belong to him. And this is how that truth can play out in your life. When you're searching for some reason that God should help you, when you're scouring your mind trying to think of some argument to present to God to convince God of your worthiness, if you ever find yourself doing that, just relax. Relax and ask God to help simply because of his unfailing love for you. God is full of mercy. If you're dealing with disappointment or sadness, or if you're overcome with grief, cast your cares upon God who knows your past and sees your future and is excited for you. Be comforted by the Holy Spirit. And if life overwhelms you, if your sin and your failure is always right before your eyes, cry out to God who forgives all those who seek forgiveness and experience peace. Because surely it is God who saves you, not yourself. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your great love and compassion and mercy toward us who do not deserve it when it gets right down to it. But Lord, we thank you for what you have done for us. You have not come to save the righteous, but the sinful. And you have clothed us with the robes of your righteousness. Heavenly Father, on this Good Shepherd Sunday, help us to count ourselves as deeply grateful sheep. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.